Okay, and then let me mute. Okay, all right, so like I said, peace, brothers and sisters. I want to welcome everyone to this week's Black Wallets Matter Town Hall meeting. My name is Brother Lou, and I will be hosting this evening's festivities. These calls usually last to about 11 p.m., but you know, sometimes people leave before the 2 o'clock. I mean, before 2 hours are up, so there's no it's no big deal. I hope that you guys are feeling empowered and inspired tonight. I am. We have a lot of guests on the call. Guests are brothers and sisters who are joining us for the first time, or brothers and sisters who are not yet members. If you notice, when you called in, I addressed you as either brother or sister, and the reason we address each other, the reason why we address one another as such, is to show respect and as a sign of solidarity. During these calls, we do not discuss religion, we do not discuss the black male and female dynamic, and we do not discuss political party affiliation. We can discuss politics as it relates to black people in America and how we can use it to improve our situation, but we don't want to get into argument about which party did this or which party did not do that, because these are all opinion-based topics and no one is right and no one is wrong. For all the guests that are on the call, let me tell you a little bit about this organization. If you haven't watched the blueprint yet, Black Wallets Matter is a member association comprised of brothers and sisters that believe the only way we're going to fix the problems in the black community is if we do it ourselves, using the power of the black dollars that we already have. It's estimated we spent $1.3 trillion last year, so if we were to pool our resources and practice group economics, we could have a major financial impact and transform our community. This is a form of black capitalism. Capitalism is the economic system that we are currently living under here in America. You may have your opinions about whether it's good or bad, but the fact remains that is what we have. So the purpose of this member association is to bring together like-minded brothers and sisters who are sick and tired of the sad state of affairs in the black community and are motivated to take action. What you need to understand is that we have a systematic problem. And so when you're dealing with a systematic problem, what you need is a systematic solution. The injustice, the oppression, the things that we endure as black people, that we have endured since we were in this country, it has become ingrained as the American way of operation. And so what we need to do is we need measures to counteract that. We will not win with sheer willpower alone. We have to develop things that are automatic. We have to develop a way of being. And one of the things that we want to do is when we detect some disrespect or some oppression or whatever it is, we want to withhold our black dollars. That would be, that needs to become the norm within our community, the same way that it is with other ethnic groups. Let's take that incident that happened with that gentleman on the airplane, with the Asian gentleman on the plane. They beat him. I don't know if he was Chinese, Japanese, Korean, whatever he was. All Asians immediately banded together. They boycotted United Airlines, and I believe they lost about $800 million or something like that within like a week or a month, or I forgot the time frame, but it was immediate. That's the way that we need to operate. I am a person who is sick and tired of talking, and I hope that you guys are too. We usually sit around discussing what we should do, what we could do, but we never actually do anything. And so I want to ask everyone that's on this call tonight to ask within themselves, is enough enough for you? Are you ready to actually do something? The overall goal of this organization is to realistically change the economic, political, and social conditions of black people here in America. But that is a very big goal, and it will take a generation or two to achieve. So it will require sacrifice from those of us who can to do for those of us who can't. We have to, quote unquote, become the elders of future generations. We have to take the responsibility to make things better for our future generations. We have to take responsibility to leave a legacy. So on our Facebook page, I posted a meme, well, not a meme, but I posted a picture or whatever that was asking people, you know, who is interested in leaving a legacy, and it was crickets. Amongst the members, when we have like our member discussions or when I speak behind the scenes with members, one of the main reasons why they say that they want to become a part of this organization is for the purposes of leaving a legacy, for actually making things better for future generations. And so that has actually, that is the essence of what this organization is about. It is about providing better opportunities and protections for our children. So let me get into exactly how that works. Other ethnic groups have, you know, other ethnic and social groups, they prove that, you know, the things that I'm about to outline, they prove that it works. You can look at the Jews, you can look at the LGBT community, things like that. What first thing that we need to do is we need to stop focusing on our differences. We need to stop getting so emotional when we hear the truth about our current situation. It's more important that we learn, it's important that we learn to agree to disagree without burning down the house or abandoning the overall plan. You know, I usually when I make that statement during these calls, we usually have a few people leave. I'm glad tonight that we haven't had anyone leave. All right. So that's good. So we should be, you know, so I think that so far we're like-minded brothers and sisters. And so what a group of like-minded brothers and sisters can do is we can pool our resources and we can start creating large-scale businesses. The reason why we need large-scale businesses is because some of the things that we want to do requires a ton of money. A lot of our brothers and sisters, they shy away from the fact that, you know, all of the ideas, the things that we talk about, they shy away from the fact that it actually is going to take money. We're not going to get anything wishing, hoping, and praying. It has not worked for us thus far. America fully understands economics, and what we have to do is we have to show them that we understand how it works too. And then they'll get the message to stop messing with us. So everyone, you know, different people have different ideas of, you know, how to solve the problems in a black community, but this organization already has its plan. The priorities of this organization is to address the issues of black poverty, which affects over 70% of single black mothers, black unemployment, which is at 50% compared to, I think, 9% for whites, and this wave of racially motivated police brutality. The reason we want to address those three issues, so if we address black poverty, which affects the single black mothers are the ones who are raising our future generation. You know, when you're in poverty, when you don't have enough food to eat or whatever it is in the house, you cannot put all your time and energy into the nurturing and guidance that those children need. And so what happens is the TV winds up raising these children or their friends. They go out in the streets. And then now we have wayward youth. Right. And now what do we have? We have a cycle of, you know, violence and craziness going on like we have like in Chicago and, you know, like we used to have in New York. Black unemployment. So specifically what we want to do is help men who are the heads of their households and who are struggling to raise their families. If we know that one of the tools that have been used against us is taking the black man out of the home. If we are able, so if the black man is sticking it out with his lady and he's decided to stay the course and raise his child, but he's having a problem because of, you know, maybe he lacks the skills or whatever it is to do it or whatever happens, we need to be able to provide opportunities for that man to support his family, and that is what this organization wants to do. Now, once we have these children that are being more productive, you know, these black children who are more productive in society and who aren't out here doing some of the knucklehead things that, you know, some of the other, you know, that these current generation is doing, they're going to need legal and political protections. And that includes this racial police brutality. And so what we want to do is we want to hire lawyers and lobbyists to provide protections for these children. And again, like I said, the way that we want to do this is through business. Business is the only way that you can have a sustainable source of funding. And so that is what Black Wallets Matter is focused on. So we have a two-prong approach to having this sustainable income. As a member association, we collect membership dues. We are not a nonprofit organization. We are structured as a B corporation. A B corporation is a benefit corporation. Benefit corporations exist for the sole purpose of serving or helping a particular group of people. So Black Wallets Matter exists for the sole purpose of conducting business to help the Black community. We're not racist, we're not radical, we're not nothing. We're just tired of our people being at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. That's what it is. Just recently I've had a lot of, I guess they're white people, send messages through the website and on the Facebook page, oh, you guys are racist, you're only talking about Black people, we all need to get together. You know, I am offended, and I actually responded to one of them guys, and I told him that I am galled that you would even tell me that, you know, looking at the condition of my people, you're telling me that I need to be worried about what's going on with your community. Your people are good. You're doing what you're doing. Let me and my people help ourselves using the resources that we have. We're not, you know, standing in front of you asking you for a handout. We're not asking you for assistance. Why do you even feel that you could communicate or that you should communicate to me and tell me that I'm wrong for trying to have my people pull themselves up by their own bootstraps? And he was like, oh, I didn't think about it that way. I didn't look at it that way. I just saw it as being, you know, I saw Black Wallets Matter, and I just saw it as being a Black-only group. I was like, well, we will prioritize Black folks. Well, we do prioritize Black folks. That is what this is. That's what this is. But that's not racist. That's love. And that's essentially what we're going to need. We're going to need a degree of selfless love. Because truthfully, many of us, I'm 42, many of us may not get to see the fruits of the labor that we're putting in now. That is just the truth. That's just the reality of it, because this is a very, very big task that we are trying to undertake. And so with that in mind, let me just break down like the membership levels. Memberships start at $10 for the silver level, $25 at gold, and $50 at the platinum level. Our goal within the next 3 to 5 years is to get 1 million association members. With 1 million members, the organization can generate over $300 million a year in revenue. With that kind of revenue, we could possibly get a $1 or $2 billion loan. With $1 or $2 billion, we can buy large-scale businesses such as manufacturing plants, supermarket chains, transportation companies, and employ hundreds and possibly even thousands of our brothers and sisters. So this plan is very realistic. I've sat down. I did, you know, if you guys looked at the research, the numbers, the facts, and the figures are there. With the profit from these businesses that we buy, we will be able to build community resource centers in major Black cities to provide educational and occupational training for our brothers and sisters. In addition, so like Brother Ben was talking about initially, he was saying, how could we create like these centers or something in the church to get these kids off the street? That is one of our goals with these community resource centers. We want to provide like these safe zones. In these community resource centers, we want to redefine what it means to be Black. Now, this is really how we're going to make change. The current definition that we have, like, so all of us have, like, you know, it's just certain Black things that we have, certain Black things, that, you know, certain characteristics that we currently have. Some of it is good. A lot of it is bad. We need to get rid of all of the bad stuff. So we need to teach these children that Black people don't kill one another. Black people help one another. Black people trust one another because they are trustworthy. We've had a lot of you know, we've had a lot of things fall down, break apart during the years of people trying to put together organizations like this. They've been infiltrated and all this other stuff. And, you know, I studied some, I looked at some. One of the main reasons is just at some point in time, the trust breaks down. And what I'm proposing is that this organization is going to need a core group of us to work together, to trust one another, and then to build something to show the rest of our community. So if we build one of these community resource centers, and we tell these, you know, we tell the people in the community, let's say we do it in Atlanta, and we tell them, hey, your child can come to this this safe zone when they get out of school, and you can come here and you can learn a trade. You can learn plumbing or welding or something like that. That is proof. There's really, so our people can trust what they see, and then that will in turn will raise the visibility of this organization, and that's how we will get to that 100 member mark. But it starts with the core group of us, and what we were aiming for is 2,000 founding members. 2,000 founding members will allow this organization to generate at the very bare minimum $20,000 a month. The $20,000 a month will allow us to invest, create an initial business, and that is a shopping portal. So if anyone is familiar with like Ebates or something like that, it's a shopping portal where you go to it and they basically give you like a kickback or something like that. Prior to launching this organization, I work with some people to set up that same arrangement. But the thing is, you got to have a lot of people within your organization, within your group, to make it happen. So we are not yet at the 2,000 founding member number. We are hovering around the 300-something mark. So we have a little ways to go. It's our goal to get to 2,000 founding members by the end of the year. So if anyone that is on this call is thinking about, hey, you know, I've been looking for something to get involved with, but, you know, I just didn't know where to start or what's the plan, I'm just letting you know that this is the place to start. We have a plan. The blueprint is about 36 minutes long. You can go when you have some time. You can watch it. But essentially what I just gave you were the cliff notes. For those who are concerned about how the money is managed, how it's used, I post revenue reports in the private members area. Any member that's on this call can attest to it. They can, you know, they can log into their members area and let you know what's been going on. Basically, since this organization has started, we are not yet meeting the revenue requirements to actually support this organization. It's not breaking even yet. It's not self-supported yet. So with that in mind, there's no money to run off with. I'm basically footing the bill out of my own pocket. The shortfall. So anyone who's worried about like another Umar Johnson type situation or whatever it is, you know, you don't have to worry about that because there's nothing to run off with. All right. So with that said, if anyone who's listening in on this call, if you have any questions or comments in regards to the organization, membership, or anything like that, I'm going to open it up. You can press *6 on your phone to get into the queue. Away we go. Okay, so we got Brother Richard, Brother Anthony B, and okay, Brother Rock. Hold on for a second. Brother Anthony B. Yes.
Okay, I was just wondering if you guys had anyone in the hemp industry.
Hemp? No.
Yes.
No, we
okay, don't. Well, good news. I'm a North Carolina hemp farmer.
Okay, so I guess we got to go behind the scenes because I'm not even sure I mean, I'm like, what is it, a derivative of weed or something like that? I don't really even know what.
Okay, the hemp plant is a cousin to the marijuana plant, but it doesn't have any THC in it. It can't get you high. What you use it for industrial building.
Okay.
Or making rope or making clothing, and you can make plastics with it. You can do a whole bunch of things with it. It makes over 25,000 products, and we just got it legalized here in North Carolina about 2 years ago.
Okay. All right, so that's definitely something for us to talk about behind the scenes, brother.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Brother Richard. I see you, Brother Ben.
Hey, Brother Lou. How you doing today?
Peace.
I had a question. It was from last week. It kind of crossed my mind, but I never had a chance to ask it, and so I was thinking, and I don't know if you're opposed to this, but the name of the organization, are you opposed to maybe editing the name or changing the name, or how does that sound to you?
Well, you know what? I was – so at the onset, that question was posed before. At the onset, I was talking about – well, actually, it had a different name. Because when we start entering the political arenas and the business arenas, we don't want to come off brusque and offensive, you know, Black Wallace Matter. So I am not opposed to making our, like, business entities or whatever it is. But in terms of the actual organization, it could be whatever it is. But when we go out for other, you know, for different types of representation or presentation, you know, to the world, facing towards the world, it can have a different name.
Okay, and the reason why I mention it, because as you know, like Black Wallace Matter, to me, when I initially heard it, it automatically reminded me of Black Lives Matter, and I think Black Lives Matter has some great initiatives and ideas, but unfortunately, to like the mainstream media, I think they kind of paint, depending on which media you're listening to, they paint Black Lives Matter. I don't think they give them a fair shake. And so I think the mainstream views them negatively, and I think it could be a potential that when as an organization reaching out and trying to grow, they might have that, they might associate that name with that stigma of Black Lives Matter. And even though I feel like most of the brothers and sisters who are tuning in here don't really get their news from mainstream media sources, I think they really know the true intent behind it. And maybe that could have been possibly the reason that one question that you mentioned on Facebook where people were trying to say that this is a racist organization, even though we know it's far from not. So that was just kind of one of the things I wanted to bring up. And I had kind of kicked around some names as far as maybe what are some other alternatives. Like I just was thinking off the top of my head, like Black Economics Party or Black Economics Committee or Black Economics Council. Or just something to that. I don't know for certain, but it's just one of those things that legitimately crossed my mind.
Okay. For sure, it. I named it Black Wallace Matter. I settled on that to piggyback on the notoriety of Black Lives Matter. I did that for sure. And actually, the first piece of content we put out there was like, you know, do Black Lives Matter, because it was marketing. So, you know, I'm being honest. That's exactly what it is. It's marketing. It catches people's eyes. And so, you know, we have to get them into the fold some way. Something, it's not necessarily homogenous, but something like Black Economic, blah, blah, blah. This, I mean, so this group is more than just the economics. We just understand that all of the different things that we want to do is going to be supported by economics. I'm not a fool. And every single thing that we have to do, it has to deal. So that's essentially what we mean when we say Black Wallets Matter. We mean that for all of the social programs, all the good we want to do, we won't be able to do it for too long. We won't be able to do it at all unless we prioritize the economic component. But that's not the, you know, the end all be all. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, all right.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely makes sense.
Yep, good point. We got a few more callers. Let me tag these callers. Brother Rock, Brother Ben, I see you guys. I'm going to get to you in a second. Hold on, let me get these callers in. So if you just came in on the call, I have to get your first name. I have to get your first name so we can know who we're on the line with. If you don't want to give your first name, then you can drop the call now, because if we can't get it, we will drop you. Caller from
3230. Yeah, how you doing? I didn't have a question.
No, I know. We need your first name, brother.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kari Allen.
Kari? How you spell that, brother?
K-H-A-R-Y.
All right, Kari. Got you, brother. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Sorry about that, brother. We were I was just tagging the name, so I cut you off. I'll get back to you in a second. Caller from 346 area code, your first name, please. Caller from 346 area code, your first name, please. Caller from 346, if we cannot get your first name, we are going to have to drop you from the call. Do you have your phone? Go ahead. What's your first name, brother?
Tracy.
Brother Tracy. All right, cool. Thank you, brother. And caller from 662 area code, your first name, please. Caller from 662 area code, your first name, please.
Titus.
Titus?
Yes.
Okay, brother. Hold on. Okay, brother Titus. Okay. And caller from 347-720, your first name, please.
It's Agnes. I lost my network, and I have to call back.
Oh, okay, sister. All right. And, okay, Brother Rock, you are live. Go ahead, brother. Brother Rock? Hello, brother? You have your phone muted?
Yes, this is Brother Rock. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
All right, good. Well, I just had a question, and I wanted to know something that we could do, like, you know, similar to the Asians, as far as, like, that boycott, because with that boycott, what they did, I don't know what kind of boycott it was, because it wasn't no picketing, it wasn't no signs out, it wasn't no protesting. So I just wanted to know what kind of boycott did those Asians do to make a big impact for them to, you know, reverse and give them respect.
They did the best kind. They just used their wallets. They used their Asian wallets. They stopped.
In what way?
They stopped using United. They just all flights. You know, they travel a lot back and forth to Asia or whatever. They all just stopped flying on that airline. And then what happens is they have a lot of other people. So you get a lot of other people, other groups who see injustice in this country, and then they band with you. Right. You know, so that I mean, it hurt that airline really bad. $800 million.
Well, I'm gonna correct you. At first it was $800,000. They lost $1.8 billion. Billion.
Yeah, but that was at the end. I'm talking about like in the first week. The first week.
Okay.
They lost like $800 million. I didn't follow it after that.
Yeah. One of my business partners in the conversation told me that they lost $1.8 billion. And another thing that I heard that they did, and I believe that we should start doing, is the Asians, they had stock in United Airlines just as well as other stock. They started taking out their stock also. That's how they lost so much amount of money in so much of a short period of time. So I was thinking that maybe we could put a block of stock and use our, you know, power and stock just like the Asians did when they took their stock out of United Airlines, because that's what caused them to lose $1.8 billion. They was taking out their stock also out of United Airlines of that injustice to that Asian. All Asians band together. The guy was from Vietnam and all different type of Asians, Japanese, Chinese, Koreans, and whatever, all band together just because he was Asian from Vietnam. And one of the ways that they, like I said, they took out stock. So my thing is, I believe that is there a way that we could get involved in stock so we can have a power in stock? So when something happens with these companies, we could pull out stock, you know, just like what those Asians did. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't aware of that part of it. But so you're saying, what, can we collectively go in and own – own a big share of stock, and then when I don't know how prudent that strategy would be. I don't know how hard it would be. You know, but I mean, it would work. I think just using our economic power in terms
absolutely.
Of us being the largest consumers in this country, and then
right.
with being able to withhold our consumption from a particular company or a particular brand, I think that would be the best thing to do.
Okay.
And so, you know, but it's just a matter of really galvanizing our folks, you know, to make them pay attention and want to move in unison. So there's two things that you have to do, you know, when you got to address us. We're not going to do without, right? If you go and something happens to us, they'd be like, yeah, I know that's bad and everything, but that happened to them. I'm not going to go without flying to XYZ, you know, in United on these comfortable chairs. That's black folks. That's how they do it. So if we were to say, like, if that was us, we would have to be like, okay, cool, stop going to United, and here's a discount on Delta or whatever airline it is, right? That's how things are going to have to work for us. So, you know, but I was speaking with another brother, and it was like, what could we do? And I realistically started thinking about, so maybe we couldn't target like a store like Target or Walmart, right? Because, you know, most of us probably don't have any alternative stores to go to, but we could definitely target a brand. So we could definitely say, you know what, I'm not going to eat Fruit Loops, and whoever the Fruit Loop company is, we're not going to eat that anymore, but, you know, we'll eat something else. That is definitely something that we could do as a people. In terms to flex our financial muscle. But in addition to that, actually, this is with Brother Kuja that I had this conversation. When we do these things, we also have to have a state of demands. So right now, everyone's talking the boycott NFL thing, right? And then the people are saying, yeah, we're doing it, you know, until Cap gets the job back. It can be way bigger than that right now. Like, he can be doing this and say, listen, there needs to be reforms in the police department. You know, with these guys, they need sensitivity training. Like, his platform is that big. He could actually affect that. And then that's something that would affect change. And then when they see something like that, they'll be like, oh, snap. I was watching a video with Muhammad Ali today, and he was saying, he was saying that athletes 100% should be using their platform to address social issues, especially if they're black. I said, wow. So, you know, that's just my take on it. We're working on it, brother. We're working on it.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Brother Ben, Brother Sisu, and Brother Anthony B, I see you in the queue. Brother Ben, peace. Brother Ben. Okay, I don't know. I know he said he was using his computer. Well, let's get to Brother Cecil. Brother Cecil.
Yeah, good evening, Brother Lou and everyone else. So first of all, let me apologize because I won't be able to stay on the phone for the whole time because I'm at work.
Okay.
So if I hang up, you know, that's the reason for that. And then secondly, there's a lot I want to ask, So I know I won't get it all in today. So I'll just come back on the next interview whenever we have that. But, you know, I like the idea of Black Wallet Matter because of what I see in my community. I'm from Los Angeles. And first of all, Black Wallet Matter caught my attention because I'm the kind of consumer who is concerned where my money go. I tell my money where to go. It doesn't tell me where it's going. And so if I feel that I'm not being treated properly or I see my people not being treated properly, I won't spend with that particular organization or that store. And so and what I'm seeing is a lot of – I'm from L.A. I see a lot of Koreans and Indians that are operating in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking the money out, and they're not reinvesting it in. And I understand that what I was told, that the black dollar stays in our community only 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Where it stays in the Asian community 30 days. And so that's a big concern to me. And you know, I'm not really a guy who I'm on the surface with this this black movement or black awareness. I haven't really studied deep into different organizations like the Black Panther and other groups, black groups that's tried to uplift us. So I just know just a little. And so correct me and educate me as I go along with you. But my thing is that, you know, I have lately been trying to spend money with my own community, with my own people. I'd rather feed my people first than to feed other people. And what I see is that everybody, these other ethnic groups are taking our money and they're not reinvesting it or giving us respect. Now, here's a prime example. Just today, I saw on Facebook where there's this liquor store in our community. I know where it's at. We have some black organization out there. I don't know who they are because the interview is about an hour long, and I didn't have time to stay on Facebook and watch the whole thing to find out who they are. But they're boycotting this particular liquor store. It's about five or six of them, black people, this Asian liquor store, for disrespecting this black man that was shopping there. And so they're very successful at steering people away from it. Then they also, the same group, is doing another store about a couple of miles away. And so since they were on live, there are other people chiming in like, well, hey, this store is acting like this. There's another store over here is acting like that, you know. So I say all that to say that I like the idea that of Black Wallets Matter, Black Wallets Matter, because it's important that we start having something for ourselves and start building ourselves up instead of just giving our money away and it's never coming back, or we're not having the respect that we need to have. So I'm all for it. So, you know, I'm a member. I'm a silver member at this point. I want to see where it goes. And as I, you know, see how things go, I'll become more of a financial member. But I like what I hear, and I like what I'm seeing. And so, you know, I'm on board for right now. I just want to put my input in and, again, let you know that I won't be on the call for the whole 2 hours. So thanks for listening.
Okay, no problem, brother. All right, we got an hour and 10 left. So, but I appreciate that, brother. I appreciate you chiming in.
Okay, I'm still here.
Okay, great. Brother Anthony D.
Yeah, I just wanted to basically comment on what the brother said before about the stock. What that is called is shorting a stock. It's where you go into your stock portfolio and you bet that stock is going to lose and not gain. And everybody waits for it to hit a certain point, then everybody jerks their stock out at the same time. And the Asians who've done that actually made money while the company lost money. But another alternative to that is, like, when we find somebody or some business that doesn't respect us, I think one of the best things for us to do would be able to create that business in order for us to be able to boycott it. Because like you said, you know, a lot of people don't have a lot of alternatives. So we have to create the alternatives in order to be able to boycott.
brother, that is 100%. Like, so here's one of the things, like what the brother just said, too, about the local boycott. There was a boycott in my neighborhood, same exact way they boycotted the liquor store. What happened was, so then everybody flooded the other, another liquor store or whatever. But then when that liquor store ran out, people were standing around and they're like, man, I'm not going all the way across Atlantic Avenue to go to the liquor store. And so then they started sending other people or whatever, people who probably didn't know. What do they call them, scabs, like when they crossed the line or whatever? They started sending scabs to the store, to going back to the liquor store. Anyway, now this happened a few years ago. What this organization wants to do, and this is really what we need in our community, we need a selfless social, we need a selfless advocate with deep pockets. When you piss off the Jewish community, they've hardly patronized you in the first beginning, but they stop dealing with you. And then on top of that, they go in and replace your business because they have the money in the kitty to do it. Now, could you imagine this organization has the billions of dollars or whatever it is? So I guess he said those were like six liquor chains that company had. This also happened in Chicago, too. There was a company, there was a beauty supply company. Same thing. They beat up a girl in the store or whatever. They beat up the girl in North Carolina, actually, but the same people owned stores in Chicago, and Chicago boycotted. If we were to be able to say, okay, cool, that's what they want to do, and we can go and start methodically opening up replacement stores, we're not talking about a temporary boycott. We're just talking about total elimination, right? Because exactly. It's like, when does the boycott stop? Oh, when they repent, when they do. No, we need to make it known, just like the Jews, how they do with that anti-Semitism stuff. We need to make it known. Listen, you mess with us, that's it. We're coming for your head. We're cutting off all the money. We're cutting off all the support, all these different things. But, I'm a realist. We're not going to get a lot of our brothers and sisters on board unless we're able to provide an alternative. And it's going exactly. to have to take a group of us to say, okay, you know what? I can tighten my belt. I can hold out. I can do whatever. I can make the sacrifice, right? Because these things take discipline. We aren't the black folks from the 50s and the 60s that did that Montgomery boycott. Because them folks, they was walking miles. They were carpooling. They were doing any and everything to shut that bus company down. This current generation of black folks, man, we ain't built like that, unfortunately. So we need a plan. When you start talking about these types of things, the way the world is now, it's going to take a nice chunk of change to be able to go in and replace it. If we could even get the local people, if we could even come up with a formula where, let's say, we can take a local community. And we could possibly get about 10,000 people in a local community to like come up with like 10 bucks or something to like replace one of these businesses. And that's going to be hard. So, and then could you imagine, so if you say, all right, well, let's get 1,000 that's going to put up $1,000 or 1,000 that's going to put up, $100 or something like that to go and replace one of these businesses. That's going to be hard as well. When you start talking about these little local pockets. So we got to figure out some way, something can work. Something can happen. I just don't really know what it is. I just don't know.
It depends on what the people spend their money on.
What do you mean?
For example, like people will say that they don't want to donate $10 a month, but then they'll go buy a pack of Newports every day. And I mean, that's $10 right there. So they basically spend $50 a week. So we'd have to find a small product to sell to them to be able to make some money, to be able to do something like that. We need a smaller store in order to be able to open a bigger store.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love the way you're thinking, brother. That's exactly what we're working towards as the organization. But I was thinking like on a smaller level. So then you know what? So we have a sister in Atlanta, and she wants to create like these economic zones. Basically, they're shopping malls is basically what she's talking about, shopping plazas. But she's saying having something like those. Now that's going to require a lot of investment. But we were talking about something. We were on the phone for like 10 hours, and we were talking about an interim business, I think a fresh fruit stand or something like that. And see, something like that wouldn't be that expensive or that hard to get off the ground. And the margin on fruit probably would be large enough so that we could, you know, sell fresh fruit, fresh produce or whatever. The startup cost wouldn't be that much. The margins would be large enough where it could easily grow and they could become like, you know, a store or a replacement store. So that's definitely something that we could explore. You know, we have a few other brothers in the queue. We have both Freds in the queue, so I want to give brother Fred, I want to give the Freds you know, an opportunity to chime in, brother.
All right.
Thank you. Brother Fred without the C. All right, brother Fred.
Okay, brother Lou, can you hear me?
Yeah, but you're kind of low.
Okay, I'm trying to turn that up. How about now? Is that better?
And not really, but go ahead. I can hear you, though. Go ahead.
Okay. Some of the questions, I mean, some of the statements that I've heard, it's my first time hearing you guys and finding out about Black Wallet Matters, is, you know, respect our money, stocks, churches. I'm hearing a lot of things, except the key thing is community. I think one of the things that we lack, which is our foundation that the brothers and the sisters had in the 50s and 60s, was a community. So before we can build an economic base, before we can have a true protest, how do we create the community?
Were you on the call at the beginning? Were you on the call at the beginning, or did you just come on?
No, I was at the beginning. I heard Brother Ben talk about the churches with the after-school programs. And my problem with, and you know, I have ideas about that and probably a back channel with you and I and Brother Ben, like a good idea. But one of our churches are our biggest division in our community. So creating an avenue in a church for the community will only divide the community even more. So we have to create ways to educate our people, because most of our communities are deserts when it comes to food, banking. So the only thing that we left to is the Chinese stores, is the convenience stores that's run by Asians and others. So we're forced to shop in places that won't respect our money, that won't give us good products. So we have to learn to educate ourselves to build these basic things. Now, the fruit stand that you were just talking about is one of the key things that we can do. Instead of creating farms, let's reach out to these black farmers and create co-op programs and investments that we can make monthly. I have an idea. Are you there?
I'm listening to you, brother. I'm listening.
Are you there?
You can hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, yes.
Right.
Some of the ideas that I think we could talk on the back channel is monthly investments that can invest into these farmers that can bring food and products into our community. But we have to first educate ourselves on the community, building the community. And with that community, what you stated earlier on about trust, all of those things will happen. But we have to start with our foundation. And our foundation will be creating a community.
Well,
we don't have a community.
Okay.
I promise you, we can go anywhere in the world and we could tell you where black people live, but when I say where's the banks, where's the stores, those things don't exist. And if you don't have those things, you don't have a community.
Okay, so I mean, all right. So we've had other people come on the call, you know, with this, that same sentiment. That's an academic definition. We're talking collectively, so we're talking about. That's why I asked if you were on the beginning of the call. I said that, you know, we're spread all across the country. I speak to black folks from all across the country. every day, you know, we all have like this, we have certain characteristics that just are the same, the vast majority of us. What we are going to have to create is this distributed type organization that we have here in terms of the model community. That's what I believe we're going to have to do, because it's going to be hard to find a bunch of the same like-minded folks in one general location. That's what I believe. We have a lot of people who they ask about what could they do in their local communities or in their local areas. And I'm saying, you know, I don't really have the answer, because I don't know how you guys unify. I don't know what the economics are, but I do know with this model that we're talking about, this distributed model, finding the like-minded brothers and sisters on a national basis, forming this association, forming this organization to serve as an example of what a group of brothers and sisters working together, coming together, what it looks like, I think that would be the blueprint. And then if this organization was able to provide some type of financial assistance, especially a template, because that's one of the main things that we need. We need to be realistic, like, hey, you know, most of the times we don't know how to work together. We don't even know how to work together, you know, and I know that from trying to form committees and things like that and sitting there and listening to people and speaking to other people who have formed committees. By the way, the sister Shamika, the sister that I was talking about, she's actually on the call, and she's in Atlanta. But when you try to form these organizations and these committees around some of these positive things, our people can't let go of their differences. I want this organization to serve as an example of what can be done. And then when people meet certain criteria or they're doing what they're doing, I would love for this organization to be able to give them some type of financial plan or assistance. Not even or, but and assistance. That would be the goal. In regards to the food plan or whatever it is, there's another member, his name is Brother Ifa. He's a little further ahead in the development of that, and it looks like you're in the Atlanta area as well. He and Sister Shamika were powwowing on how that thing would work, and I would be glad to, you know, patch you in with them, and you know, you guys can see what you can do in your local community. You know, that's about as best, you know, that's about as best as I can offer in way of, you know, a local solution. But, you know.
That would be great.
All right?
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. And then we have Brother Fred C. Brother Fred C.
Hey, Brother Lou.
Peace.
Yeah, peace, man. I was really excited, man, when I came across this on social media. And right off the rip, man, I joined, man, I just got a quick question, man. I ain't gonna be on here too long, but as far as marketing, other than social media, what? Because I want to see you hit that 2,000 member goal. That's what I want to see. I'm more focused right now over what you said and hitting your first goal. What type of marketing you've come up with so far to get Black Wallets Matter out there for people to know about, that know about the organization?
Well, brother, we market mainly online. That's my expertise. The reason why is because, one, what we're looking for, the type of people that we're looking for, they are few and far in between. And it's very unfortunate, but that is just that's just the fact. Hold on for a second, brother.
Yeah.
So the people that we are looking for are few and far in between. And so we need a very broad reach. You know, so every now and then, you know, people come on call and say, hey, what about flyers? What about this? What about that? If we, you know, if we were to do something like that in a local area, let's say we print up 5,000 flyers or, you know, something like that. And if, all right, so then we would have to have people actually go out and give those out. It's been my experience when you have, like, those types of labor-intensive campaigns, people do not execute the way that you think. By marketing the way that I am, I'm able to reach this past week, 2.3 million people, you know, just on Facebook alone, not to mention whatever else we're doing on YouTube and Google and all of that other stuff. So for me, this is the easiest way to reach a mass amount of people. We have to, because we're talking about positivity and because we're talking about positivity within the black community, we have to reach a whole lot of people. We have to speak to a lot of people. They have to, you know, see what this organization is about, see if it's for them. Some people become members, some people don't become members. You know, it's just the process of what it is. It's the nature of what it is until we're able to get something really, really visible happening. And so one of the things that we're looking to do is, you know, I've taken some surveys, some polls amongst members and, you know, people that are like on our email list or whatever, and I've asked them things that they want that appeals to them. And it's like the other brother said that just got off the call, put something small in front of them to sell it to them and then let them see where their profits or how their profits can be used for their good. And, I mean, that's essentially the best plan or the best marketing that I can think of right now. We've had another sister who was talking about an ambassadorship program. And essentially what that would wind up being is something like people getting together, some family and friends, having them over, and then showing them the blueprint and then discussing the final points of the organization. So it's essentially like a local or town hall. That was the last thing that we left off on, and I think that that would be something that would really help spread the word locally, you know. So, you know, it's just a matter of putting that together.
Well, just another idea, just to throw it out there, maybe sell some hats, Black Wallets Matter, the name on it, some hats, some T-shirts, coffee mugs, stuff like that. You know, that'll help with the marketing too, you know.
Yeah,
and
yep.
Put some money in people's pockets, you know.
Yep, we have a few things. You are a member, you've become a member, or you're a guest?
I'm one of the founding members on there. I just joined over the weekend.
Okay, so what you can do, log into the members area. Right, log into the members area, and then you'll get an idea. So I'm like, so you get my messages. I'm the chief cook and bottle washer. We had a sister. She created some t-shirts that she was selling in Dallas. And I wanted to replicate that, and I wanted to make them available online. I have to create a store, or I have to create the experience online. I'll tell you what happens though. Usually, when a lot of these different ideas come along, I move them to the head of my to-do list because they sound like a good idea. And when I go and I take off time and I execute them or implement them, no one uses them. So, you know, you got to, you know, be a little patient because we don't have money to hire anyone right now to kind of like pick up the slack, especially like on some of the things that I need done, because really what I need right now are like technical people, technically proficient people. Tech people are expensive, to the level that I want it done. I'm very exacting when it comes to a lot of these things. So, you know, that's going to kind of like be a challenge because I know. You know, I know what really works, and it's hard to find another person that really knows what they're doing and really knows what works. You know, that's affordable. Let me just put it that way.
Right.
All right, brother?
All right, man.
Thank you so much for the thank you for becoming a member. I haven't spoken with you personally, but you should have received your welcome email from me.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, cool. So, all right, thank you so much. And we have Sister Shamika. Hold on for a second, Sister. We got a caller in. Caller from 708632. Your first name, please. Caller from 708632. Your first name, please. Hello, caller.
It's Sister Clarice Bredelow.
Oh, peace, Sister. Oh, this is the. Oh, all right. Okay, Sister. Okay, Sister Shamika, you are live.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello?
So, basically, can you hear me?
Yeah, you. The phone went out a little bit, but go ahead.
Really? How about now?
You're a little bit low, Sister.
Oh, man. Okay, let me turn up. Okay, this is Shamika.
Oh yeah, you're going to turn up? Really? Right here on the call, huh?
You can hear it?
Go ahead, I'm messing with you, go ahead.
I see you have me. So this is Shamika from Atlanta. So basically, like Brother Lou said, we've been on conversation. We've had calls for like 10 hours just talking through a lot of this stuff. I look at Black Wallet Matter as the new NAACP. And that's the truth of the matter, and that's how we should all look at it. This is the organization that's going to join us nationally so that we're thinking about our economics, we're pooling our money, we're redistributing that $1.3 trillion back into our community. So Brother Lou has an excellent idea on how he's going to accomplish that. He wants to create a site similar to Ebates, that's Ebates.com. If you've never been to Ebates, you don't use it, because honestly, I don't. So that's even to say on Ebates' site, they say that they have 325 million members. So they're able, just like the guy said about the stocks and how they pull their stocks, and that's how United lost that $1.8 billion. That's what Ebates is now as a consumer, as a buying power. They're telling companies, hey, you're going to give us a discount, or you're going to give our members discount, and you're going to give us a cut of the money that you're making off of our members, because we're bringing you 325 million people. So imagine if all Black people joined together as a member under Black Wallets Matter, even at his $10 a month fee. But then because we're now a collective, a true collective, we can start, not even stop doing how we're doing from a spending perspective, you know, on a national perspective. We can keep shopping at all of the stores that we want to shop at, Amazon, Walmart, whatever. But because we're coming together as a collective, I think we're, what, 43 million, then now we can say, hey, you know, to appreciate our dollar, we want a discount for our members. And we want a cut of the dollars that we're spending with you all. So then that's the money that we're going to take as an organization, Black Wallets Matter, and spend and be able to control things and say, hey, you're going to stop killing our brothers and sisters on the street. You're going to give us our positions in the Senate, you know, in Congress, period. Like, we have to come together as a collective to show our power in order for us to start changing what's going on and to change the trajectory of Black America. This organization is absolutely needed, and everybody on this phone should be working week after week after week to get people to come on and join. We don't have no other choice, because like the guy said, we don't have community. We have neighborhoods. Hey, babe, my husband just came in. Sorry, y'all. So we don't have community. We have neighborhoods. And we have, every time we get a job, a good job, we think what? To leave our community. They leave their community too, but what they do is they go back and they shop in their community. They go back to their childhood restaurants, to the cleaners. They know the importance of still putting money into that community, and that's how those communities thrive. And so when you think about Buford Highway in Atlanta, when you go over there, you can't even read the names on the store. Because the stores aren't for you, they're for them. They're for their community. They know what the sign says. It's Chinese letters, Japanese letters. But guess what? We're going and we're patronizing their stores too. So they're making money from their own plus other people. As black people, we are 100% consumers and we're 100% employees collectively. Don't look at the Tyler Perry's, the Oprah's, the this, that, and other just because they're making so much money. We don't own or control any industry. That means that we are an employee to somebody, that somebody has to approve for us to have something. That's a dangerous place to be as a race, because as soon as they stop employing us, we are now a permanent subclass. We are right now in our status in this country. We are one step, like they say, one step in the grave. We one step in slavery, y'all. And the only way is to change it is to collectively come together and pool our resources. We have $1.3 trillion in purchasing power. So if we just took that money and instead of going to Asian cleaners or a Whole Foods market over here, we have to start creating the businesses that we shop each week. Every week we're getting our hair done. We're getting our hair cut. We go to black businesses for those things. But what about where are our black grocery stores? They don't exist. We're living in food deserts. That means they can starve us to death. We have no infrastructure of our own. Who are our black farmers? Who are our black truckers? Who are our black fishermen? We don't know any of that, and we're not operating as a collective. And it's time to stop trying to sit back and wait and see if Black Wallace Matter kicks off. He told y'all before, I'm working on Spark Communities is what it is in Atlanta. We're working to have an economic plaza where we have black businesses that we've vetted, that we've helped, whatever the case may be. We have to create these businesses that we will shop at as a community to support, because the way all of this real estate is being bought up, y'all understand what's going on with gentrification. They're pushing us to the suburbs, and they're scattering us too, because when you get rid of downtown Atlanta, where are people going? Did we have a plan? Did we say everybody needs to not go buy homes in South Fulton County? Why? Because that government was disestablished and most of the leaders, the mayor and everybody's black. So now we can start working together to make the decisions about how we live and operate as a community. But like you said, we're fighting. They're fighting down there at the city council. And so guys had to come in. One guy came in and, I mean, it was a beautiful speech where he got on them about focus. Let's do the business at hand so we can make this city a city and we can have a place of our own. So that's what we're trying to do here in Atlanta, have a place where we can shop and redistribute the money into our community, because they're buying up all of the property, and if we don't have something soon, we'll never be able to amass the wealth to have our own. And every other race has their centers. They all do. Y'all know what it is in New York, Little Italy, Chinatown. We got Buford Highway here. The Asians up there, the Mexicans up there. There's no black Meccas, y'all. They don't exist. And the only way to get it is, again, to pool our money together. So what was the last thing I was going to say? So
become a member.
Say it again?
Become a member.
Yes, because exactly. Become a member. Tell all your family. Tell all your friends. It's no more time for waiting. So as soon as they told me about it, because we were having our meetings, having our committees, talking about our next step, what's the next thing we have to do, and blah, blah, blah. So So we on our logo stage now, and I'm, you know, getting those tested in the market with people giving us feedback. But anyway, one of the people came onto the committee call and sent me an email with Black Wallace Matter. I went on, looked at it, I said, whoa. And then I signed up. And Brother Lou sent me his email and said, you know, we need to contact. And then he said, you know, if you want to look at this video and of how Black Wallace came about, and I'm listening to this video, and everything that he's saying is starting to remind me of how I got on the trajectory of starting Spark here in Atlanta. I felt like we needed a physical plaza so that we can start to redistribute that money, and then you can start controlling your media, your schools, your police departments, your politics, and all of that from that space. And so, you know, it fits hand in hand with Black Wallace Matter, in my opinion. And that's why I say I look at that as a national organization. So if we're working on our physical plaza in Atlanta so we have a place to spend on a local level, then everybody else needs to be thinking about that in their communities as well. You know, so if you're in Detroit or you in Philly or you whatever, if there's an opportunity for you all to do something, whether it's a fresh fruit stand or something a little bit, you know, bigger, I want a nice size plaza, because, like I said, with everything going, how all of the real estate is going away, you have to be able to capture something that you'll be able to grow with. And I don't want us to be shut out, because they're saying the Germans are coming in just and buying all of downtown Atlanta. Other investors are coming in buying houses in our Black community where most of the Atlanta mayors live, 80 houses at the time. They're coming in buying, spending full price, $500,000-$700,000, and gutting them. So this is real life HGTV going on here, and y'all know it's going on in other places. So anyway, the committee person came on and gave me his Black Wallace Matter website. I looked at it and listened to the video, and both of us had a talk with God and was ready for the destiny. How do I do this? How can I help? And we're given the vision to start Brother Lou with Black Wallace Matter, and for me, it's Spark Community. And so we need to start coming together and making these visions a reality, and then everybody else can do their part. So, yes, you might be coming here with an idea of how we do investing or whatever. Even though Brother Lou is saying that's not what we're trying to do, it doesn't mean that you can't do it and we can't collectively work together. So don't look at it like it's not, you know, it can't happen. You just put your energy into it and partner with Black Wallace Matter, because that's what I did. When I got that email and I saw what he was doing, I immediately signed up. I wasn't going to wait to see if he got to the 2,000 members. I'm like, shoot, I want to be a founding member because maybe I can say something that'll help, you know? Right. So then you do that. And then do the investment. Look into that. Because at the end of the day, our infrastructure is so shot out, we don't know who does what. You can be the next person that's able to provide these type of services to our community and teach other people how to do it. So you can also look at what you want to bring to the organization as an opportunity to become a business owner yourself if you're already not, or to test waters into another business that is more will be more beneficial to us as a community, as a collective. But either way, last thing is become a member. Thank you, Lucy.
thank you, Sister Shamika. Thank you. And now we have Sister Rhonda. Sister Rhonda, give me a second. Caller from 678-643, your first name, please.
My first name is Talib.
Hi, help me out with that, brother. How you spell that?
T-A-L-I-B as in boy.
T-A-L-I. Okay, Talib. Okay, like Talib Kweli.
Correct.
No, got you. All right, thank you, brother. Sister Rhonda. Okay, sister.
Hey, I'd just like to make a statement. I saw your advertisement, I think, yesterday about the father teaching his son how to cut the hair, and that was very sharp. That was sharp, and that was a eye catching thing, and hopefully other people picked up on that or saw it. But That's one way that you can catch people. I mean, it was really good. It shows how you pass generational things down to your children. Another thing, I read a report today about how in 2053 that our wealth will be zero. The African American wealth will be zero if we don't get together. And I heard something today about people wanting to create jobs but build up the middle class. So that tells me that if people are looking at the middle class, because everybody might become a pay system by 2053 if people don't have these jobs, because when you don't have the middle and you just have the lower and the higher end and don't have the middle, you're going to have a lot of problems. I just applaud you for what you're doing. And there's a bigger picture. Sometimes we progressive and proactive are two different things. And I really appreciate what you're doing. I hope everybody becomes a member that's on the call that isn't a member.
Thank you so much, Sister Rhonda. Thank you so much. We've got about a half an hour left on the call. And so I wanted to ask you guys something. So like I said, I was watching a video with Muhammad Ali. It was a few other celebrities too that in the past, how they stood up for us. The guy during the Olympics when he had on the black glove and he stood there and threw up the black power fist and, you know, all of that stuff. And now I'm looking at, like, what we have going on with, like, CAP and, you know, some of these other initiatives. And I want somebody to just explain to me, like, how are this current generation, how are we going to make progress and make things better for our children or for the future generation if we don't support the brothers and sisters that stand up for us and our ideals now, and we let them stand alone because we're scared to lose what we got? Like, realistically speaking, like, how are we ever going to make progress? How do we combat that thinking where people, they're comfortable with what they have, they're comfortable with their own accomplishments, and so when they see some type of injustice or when they see something goes on with us, they disassociate. They just like, nope, well, you know what, that's them over there. And, you know, and I mean, I'm not saying that I have never done it. I've done that as well in the past. And, you know, it bothered me a little bit to my core. It was like, wait, what are you doing? And so, you know, my father calls it having like a martyr or some type of complex where I think I can go and try to save everyone or save everything or you know, whatever it is, or make every situation right. But I'm just serious. Anyone on the call, like, you know, how do you think we can combat that mentality where we do not stand up for those who stand up for us? Or how do we think we're going to make progress any other kind of way? Because it's going to take some intrepid souls, some intrepid individuals to go out there and make this thing happen first. And then we have to get behind them and you know, build that momentum. Brother Richard. Go, brother.
Yeah. Hey, Brother Lou, peace to you. I think some of the answers that we discussed, that some of the other brothers discussed previously. You had the sister who elaborated just shortly ago for quite some time about we don't have these venues set. But I think what you're doing by continuing to say boycott, these things are getting out there, boycott. And then with the other brother who had the idea of saying, You're starting off with a small product or a small convenience store to allow the financial growth to develop into something to push out and to develop the community. So I think it's what you're doing right now. I think it's the Black Wallet Matter movement that's actually allowing that to grow. And another thing with Kaepernick, you know, with all sports, I say, because I think I mentioned it last week, that these same white people that cheer us on in these athletic arenas outside of the uniform, outside of the stadium, when they see you in their community, they don't want nothing to do with you. They are upset with the sight of black people a lot of times. So, in my opinion, why would we even watch and support this? Why would we even watch and support it? And if I had an opportunity to speak to the brothers that are playing these sports, it's like, why are you guys playing these sports? But I understand they have to make a living. So I think it's a culmination of things. And I think social media, even though it has taken away that connection and that community element, I believe that's the same tool that's going to bring us together, that's going to get these words out. And in addition to that, let's find the tree, if you will, the root of some of these corporations that we don't want to spend our money with. You know, like you mentioned, Fruit Loops. Well, Fruit Loops is General Mills. You know, most corporations today stem from – there's not as many corporations as we think there are anymore. There's still a lot, but a lot of corporations are subdivisions of a major corporation. So I think by doing research and putting those things out on the channel or on the page on Facebook, I think is a really good start.
I like
that's
that.
All I have. You
know. I like that idea. Yep, I agree. All right, so here's we brought this up on a previous call. So what we would do is pinpoint a brand something, identify the alternative, and then basically so it's like Brother Cujo and I, we have these conversations, and it's like, well, what are we asking for? What's the reason? And so we need to associate. So let's say if we take some of this police brutality, let's say if we take some of this stuff, I think that would probably be one of the things that, I mean, it's the biggest one that we're focused on, or I mean that we probably could have some impact.
Right.
Say, listen, until these guys start getting some special sensitivity training or whatever it is, and we need to ask for something specific. So we can't just say we're mad, right? Because that's not how you talk.
Right.
You know, that's not how adults communicate. You say we're withholding our money for this purpose here. And until there are reforms and until there's this, then we will just no longer patronize. And as long as you guys continue to do that, we're just going to pick off another one of your brands, you know, every month,
right,
or whatever. I think something
right.
like that will allow us, you know what, and that might be something to see if we can get growing on
right.
a grassroots level.
Right, to give some legs onto the why of
yep.
why the reason is. But I'll say even go further, because even still, you still have to, even if you're getting what you want, we still have to develop our own, regardless of whether our demands are met or not. We still got to develop. So we still have to have that mindset regardless going forward. And kind of like, I think it was Brother Rock or Eric, I forget his name, but when he mentioned the Asians pulled their money from the airline, they didn't even advertise it. It was just gone.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
what
that,
I'm saying. They just on code.
That one point
just, yeah.
Exactly. So you really don't have to advertise it. A lot of times, the money is going to be the why, and let them figure it out.
No, but see, that's why I was saying. Remember when I was mentioning it, I was saying these are the things that we have to like retrain. Like these things have to become a part of our culture, because if we don't advertise it amongst our people, then the word will not get out, and they won't move the way that they should or whatever.
Right, and that's what I mean. Advertise it, and like you said, make it like code in our community, abroad in our community, and let them figure it out as to why. Because, like I said, we are so far behind, we have to do these initiatives regardless of whether our demands are being met or not. And I think I honestly feel like there is a huge, huge push, and I see this a lot on social media, that blacks are saying this. And to be honest with you, you know, in the urban areas where you have these Korean stores, you have these Indian stores and whatnot, I think if we can get them to figure out a way to create their own, or to not even buy from those places, I mean, at all, you know what I mean, and support the few black businesses that exist in those communities and run with that. I think that's another message we can get out.
Okay, cool. All right, brother. Thank you for chiming in.
Okay.
And we got Brother Ben and Sister Rhonda in the queue. Brother Ben? Brother Ben?
Hey, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool.
My bad, I didn't hear you call me the first time.
All right, no problem.
All right, no, I just wanted to make sure I just focus in on a few things. I was, like, just on this phone call. I know, like I said, it's an open phone call every week. But just, you know, general message I just want to throw out there, don't be focused on the wrong thing. I know we was talking about earlier, I just want to dial back and touch on a few things. But, like, we was talking about, like the Asian dollar. I mean, I don't care if it was 800 million, 800 billion, 2.3. The point is that the thing is they were united. And that's why I was saying we need to stay focused on that. And the thing is, all these ideas we have, the people are already here on the phone calls. We just need to find better ways to implement them. And that's what I was talking about, maybe on that forum and stuff like that, because people got a lot of good ideas and things that they can do and run their own forum. But maybe a certain nights or stuff like that, if people want to talk about the stock and stuff like that, if that's what they do actually, and that's the things that we can incorporate, and they can find ways to incorporate that black dollar into Black Wallets Matter, then so be it. That's all I kind of wanted to say. And like I said, a lot of people already touched on a couple of things I was already going to say anyway, so I didn't want to run it long.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Thank you, brother. Thank you for the input. People usually they're looking for like something that they can do locally. I don't want to be flip, but I usually tell them, I'm like, when you coming up with your plans, I'm like, okay, cool, then what is it going to take? And, you know, and they start coming up with, like, everything except for money. Unless you're able to get, like, your local, a boycott. A boycott is something that we can do without money. That is something that we can definitely start. And I have that in my notes with a star next to it. And we talked about it before, but then it's like, okay, cool, how are we going to get the word out? I don't know if just saying, hey, let's boycott XYZ is going to go viral. But you know what? I didn't test it. So that's something for us to definitely test, put together something, pick a reason, pick a brand, and then and give an alternative and just be like, yo, get behind that, and we're going to do that, and this is the reason why. So it's something to test. There's more logistics to it, right, because it's like, okay, cool. The company, like Brother Richard said, we got to make sure that the company or the brand that we're boycotting, we got to make sure that they have influence in Washington. We have to make sure that they have lobbyists and things like that, because that's really what the end game is, right? So we don't want to just, because the brand didn't really do anything to us, we want to just leverage our buying power. So we got to find out what is something like all black people have in their house. Like, do we all buy Lowry's, right? You know what I'm saying? I got Lowry's regular season salt, and I got Lowry's garlic salt in here. Maybe that's something we can do. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, Purdue chicken. I don't know what it is, but it's we got to pick something that a lot of us can definitely affect. Maybe our cable companies, and we all can come and use you. You know, come and go to your company. I don't know. So we got to figure that out. There's some research. It has to be well thought out. You understand? Hello? I don't know what happened to the brother. Hope he heard me. Okay, Sister Rhonda and Sister Clarice, hold on. Hello, Sister Clarice?
Yeah, I'm here.
Peace.
How you doing, Brother Lou?
Peace, Sister.
Hey, y'all. Okay, so I just wanted to circle back to the question you asked when you asked, how do we make the change? How could we do it? Is it even possible? I don't think it is. But I do believe that we, and when I say we, I mean Black Wallets Matter, I think we are the way. The boycotts and things that everybody's been talking about, those people, they didn't wake up just one day out of the blue with that type of collectivity. That was instilled in them. That was modeled to them. That was taught to them. And when I say we, Black Wallets Matter are the way, that's what I mean. We'll be the example for the next generation. And that's really what caught my eye with your blueprint, Brother Lou, is how you plan to invest in the next generation to give them that one up that no other generation besides the generation of the Civil Rights Movement have, basically, to instill that discipline and those skills that will give them that mobility. And in the meantime, us being able to use our collective wealth as that power, not power because you can buy stuff, but power because we all know that money is the power. So,
oh, shoot. Her phone dropped, brothers and sisters. So she probably going to call back in. Let's get the Sister Rhonda.
No, Brother Lou, I digress.
Oh, okay.
I digress.
Okay. So, essentially, so I guess the consensus is that, you know, we are going to have to spearhead this initiative, which is what we signed up for, right? So that's what the organization is there for. I'm just thinking, like, you know, for everyone to at least lead the charge within your group, within your network. So you're on this type of call. You hear the type of content that we're talking about. You know that you have a group of like-minded brothers and sisters from all across the country that will, you know, that will support you in your endeavor, that is there for you to communicate about these topics. And so if you would reach out and find who, you know, the brothers and sisters that are like-minded within your circle, invite them to a call. You know, I have my contact information. There is also a phone number on the website. You could also send me a message. If you want to set up like a group, like basically like a town hall within your group to open it up for like these types of discussions, this is something that you can take, you know, you can copy this model. And then it's like, okay, cool, but where do we get started? You really kind of want to like have the answer when you do that. So now I'm posing some of these questions. And then and it's to say that the answers are in the blueprint, right? So if you hear something here tonight that's piqued your interest, you know, we want to invite you to become a member. And it's the same thing that you can do with the people that's in your group. You can sit down and you can talk about some of the problems that are going on in the community. Then you can start talking about the solutions. I am going to tell you what the solution to most of the problems that we suffer from as a collective. We have a poor culture. We have a very, very bad identity of what it is to be black. We go for self. So a lot of people call that a lack of unity. And really what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to teach that to the babies, because it's going to be too hard to take people who are set in their ways, who live in the world the way that it is, who have experienced the things that they have experienced, and tell them, hey, you know, you need to be like turning the other cheek. You need to be putting your best foot forward. You need to give before you get, things like that. Those are very hard things to communicate to a person. They're just hard to communicate to someone who has been dealt a raw deal, for more or less. But you can say there is an organization that is already doing what it is that that I am telling you. Here, these are a group of brothers and sisters, unrelated people who have come together to do exactly the same thing that I am telling you. So it is possible. And then, again, like I said, you can invite them on a call. We got our Brother Cujo in the queue. Hold on. Brother Cujo.
Hello.
Peace, brother.
Peace. I just wanted to share a thought just in everybody's hearing. With the name of the organization being Black Wallets Matter, it's obviously one of our greater missions is putting our money where our mouth is. And with that being the case, I thought of an idea, or something I just wanted to share with everybody. Just to throw some numbers across and give everybody an idea. With us having about 200 people, it's relatively easy for us to raise $100,000 between the group as it exists today. if we were to consider each person putting up $500 as an investment towards making something that can produce money and keep the organization self-sufficient. Like I said, the idea, the focus here is raising $100,000. Easy way to do that in 3 months' time is with 200 people investing $167 a month or pledging $167 a month. Of course, everything in the organization always has been and will be transparent, so everybody would be well aware of what was going on with the money that they invested. But anybody can do this simple math. In 3 months' time, 200 people are pledging or sitting aside themselves $167 a month. That's $500 per person, $100,000 we can literally have in 3 months. Now, beyond that, it's up to the group to choose what would we use that money on. To build a business that would build a small business, it could be a local business, it could be in transportation or whatever field somebody has expertise in, and of course it would be monitored by the organization. But I know the field that I'm in that $100,000 investment will make at least that every year. And that would give us freedom to move around where the organization is actually producing money and employing people virtually like pretty much right away. So I just wanted to throw that out there for whoever is in my hearing to consider ideas like this, because these are realistic possibilities where we can do something to actually get the ball rolling on something. It gives us the opportunity to be working together, and that shows a group of like-minded people actually working together, producing something and providing jobs for people. And that's a realistic possibility that could happen before years end.
I love that idea. That's essentially like what we were talking about in terms of buying trucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like I said, I don't know what field everybody else operates in, but I mean, I think we all know that there are some hardcore businesses that is not hard to make money in. That's just simply the way it functions. You have a certain amount of investment. You have a relative fair knowledge about the business. You know what it takes to make money doing it. You just put it to work, and it makes that money.
Okay. We.
But the main thing I just wanted to put out is just that little example of the money structure. Like, this is a realistic possibility in a very short amount of time. Even with the people that we have now, we can produce $100,000 as a group together and put that into making money. That was it.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. We're going to have to put that together in a formal. You kind of sprung that on me, man. You spoke to me for 40 hours the other day. You didn't even say anything. Well, we talked about the trucks, but I love that idea. That is we're going to talk about that in the background, brother, because it's a few things that we have to work out in regards to how that will work. But I really do like that idea. All right.
No doubt.
Thank you.
My brother.
Sister Shamika.
Oh, I was just going to second that. That's a great idea, and I will be all on board with that. So, great idea. That's it.
Okay, excellent. All right. And Sister Clarice, she dropped out the call. Sister, are you going to get back in the queue? Star 6? Press star 6, sister, if you want to get back in. Okay, I guess not. Okay, so we have, okay, there she is. Yes, sister, you're the call drop.
I don't know what happened. I was in my passions on the road, and, you know, I just got disconnected. But basically what I was just giving props to the blueprint for acknowledging that the idea that wealth is power, not because of what we can buy with the money, but because it is power itself. And for acknowledging, for setting the stage for what we are as an organization are trying to do, create social progress by means of collective financial power. We're talking about educating and giving charity, and not charity as in like handouts, but charity that creates individuals who are independent. That's the ultimate goal. In the meantime, from what I have experienced thus far, the stage is open for all ideas. And because it's a platform for collective minds, there's really no other place to be to set the foundation for changing the path for our people. We don't have to ask anybody for nothing. When we creating it ourselves and doing it ourselves, because it's ours. It's always ours. It's always going to be our kids. So join. And if you haven't checked out the blueprint, it took me 3 days between work, family, and school to get it all down. But the more I listened, the more I understood, the more inspired I became. So come with us. Be with us. Give us you. Give yourself to the future and be a part of this awesome thing. That's just the gist of it. Y'all missed the best part because the phone dropped, but that was the gist of the message.
Thank you so much, sister. We are going to wrap this one up because it is 10:53, so we have 7 minutes left. If anyone has anything that they want to add in conclusion, this is the time. If anyone has any, anyone who's a guest, if they have any final questions about the organization, press *6 on your phone. You can get into the queue. And if not, then we are going to wrap this one up kind of early. And, you know, like the sister said, you know, you can become a member. You can start at the $10 level. You know, check us out for a little bit. And then you can, you know, go to 25 or 50 if it resonates with you. If you're not feeling it at all, then you can just cancel. Or if you want to make a one-time contribution, then there's a link in the menu that will allow you to make a one-time contribution based on you feeling what we're trying to do. All right, we got Brother John E. Hold on. Brother John.
Yeah, hello. How you doing?
Peace, brother.
All right. Hey, my question was for the platinum membership, I guess the founder, could you explain or elaborate more about that position?
Well, so I have the notes here that I usually go through when I explain that while we're building this organization, we haven't been able to roll out like the membership perks because we don't have the numbers. So I don't know if you were on at the beginning of the call, but I was explaining what the organization.
No, I missed it.
Okay.
I missed it.
So I was explaining what the perks of the membership was, but because we don't have the numbers, we can't execute on those. So if you would become a member at this time, you're basically supporting the organization. As the brother Cujo said, we are actually looking at ways to move ahead with the current membership. So, like, those who are invested are not stopping. We are going to figure out a way to make this happen on our own so that we can start putting forward some type of proof element. So if you become silver, gold, platinum, you would be coming in based on, you know, your personal level of commitment or, you know, in the organization.
Okay.
All right, brother.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Also, if you have a business too, we have the Black Wall Street Directory. So if you become a member, you can promote your business there. we haven't had a lot of people sign up for it. We haven't had as many people sign up for it as I thought, because there was a lot of people, they were asking for it. We put it together, and, you know, but you can, when you become a member, if you have a business or you have something that you want to promote, you also can promote that there, and then you can reach our network.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
All right, thank you, Brother John.
Thank you.
And that will conclude this meeting. It is 10:56. We have 4 minutes to spare, and I am going to... Okay, good night, brothers and sisters. Again, if you are a guest, we'd like you to check out the blueprint. If it resonates with you, then we would love to have you aboard. For all the current members on the call, thank you for coming in. Thank you for your support. Thank you for giving us, you know, or sharing your experience or your vision, your understanding of what Black Wallets Matter is. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey.
Peace.
Peace.